Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am, of course, Arif Dean, your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports. And on this late Friday night, we're talking. It is currently 11:51 p.m. Mountain Time here on Friday. I'm also here to be your therapist. This was just an unbelievable turn of events, something that I would never have predicted to happen, especially when it happened, how soon it happened, and how it all unfolded. But it did happen. The Colorado Avalanche traded Mikko Rantanen to the Carolina Hurricanes in a three-team deal. For some reason, Chicago's involved. Well, they brokered the deal and for some reason gave Taylor Hall away. But in that trade, the Avalanche acquire Martin Natchez, Jack Drury, a second-round pick in 2025, and a fourth-round draft pick in 2026. Natchez is 26 years old, is signed for another year at $6.5 million beyond this season. He's got 55 points in 49 games, which currently leads the Carolina Hurricanes at the time of the deal. And Jack Drury, the nephew of Chris Drury, former Avalanche Stanley Cup champion, 24 years old, one more year remaining after this season at $1.75 million before he becomes a restricted free agent, unlike Martin Natchez, who becomes an unrestricted free agent on July 1st, 2026. Jack Drury is a faceoff specialist. He's got 9 points in 39 games. Last year, he had 27 points in a full season. He's a depth forward. He plays center, obviously, and he's young and plays a solid two-way game. So that's what the Avalanche are getting back for one of the best to ever play for this franchise. I believe he's seventh all-time in franchise history, not just Avalanche history. In franchise history, he's seventh all-time in points, sixth all-time in goals. He has the most goals in a single season with 55. He's got two straight 100-point seasons. He's one of the best playoff performers this team has ever seen. He's one of the best regular season performers this team has ever seen. He's worn the alternate captain's A for the last several seasons. Riding shotgun with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, made up the core of this team that won the Stanley Cup, along with Gabe Landeskog in 2022. Drafted number 10 overall in 2015. Traded on January 24th, 2025. 28 years old, Mikko Rantanen. His era with the Colorado Avalanche has come to an end. I don't know where to begin because for those that are aware, I grew up a big Avalanche fan and I moved here because this was my dream. I studied journalism always with the thought in mind that I wanted to move to Denver, Colorado and cover the Avalanche. I was the biggest Avalanche fan. You've heard this from me. You've heard this from other media members. Working in this industry changes your fandom. You're not the same type of fan. You don't ride the highs of a win and the lows of a loss anymore, or the emotions of an elimination. They're no longer the same. You don't have that same type of feel. And in fact, this season at Colorado Hockey Now, when I'm afforded a day off to not cover a road game, for example, sometimes I don't watch the game. And if I do, it's very like without the same type of focus as I do every other game. Working in this industry changes your fandom. But when I saw that first tweet from Frank Saravalli that the Avalanche were traded Mikko Rantanen, I felt like a fan again. I instantly gasped, like could not believe what had happened, rushed to my computer, started to write, but could not believe it. Like would have never in a million years. And, you know, I've been writing all these reports about how the Avalanche were, you know, possibly going to trade Mikko Rantanen, and how there were these weird rumors going around and none of the insiders were really, you know, denying them. It was just with Mikko Rantanen, we'll see what happens. But I never believed it. I never believed they would actually trade him in a season where the Avalanche are looking to contend for the Stanley Cup in the middle of the year. I never imagined it would happen, especially this early before the trade deadline. The trade deadline is still precisely 6 weeks away, which made me feel even if he was going to get traded, you're going to spend the next 42 days seeing what you can do. But I think a few things changed this. I think number one, the Avalanche wanted to shake up this roster and, you know, call it a knee-jerk reaction, call it whatever it may be. Something wasn't working with this team and they wanted to shake it up. And you mix that with the fact that Miko was the easiest person to shake up from this roster. And it's simply because he's not signed to an extension past this season. He wants to make $14 million and the Avalanche simply just cannot do that. But beyond all of that, I did not imagine this would ever happen. So I want to kind of break down a few things about this trade. I also want to get into a little bit of what I think you can get out of somebody like Martin Natchez and how the Avalanche just, let's face it, they're not done. This is not the only move they're going to make. There is no way in hell it's the only move they're going to make. In fact, all the insiders have already said they're not done. And I think they're going to swing for the fences. But starting with the trade, look, the reality is right now that the salary cap is rising. The Leon Draisaitl contract on September 3rd made things complicated. That was always the case. Andy Scott, who represents Draisaitl, also represents Rantanen. And as soon as Leon got that deal, everything shifted toward Miko and the fact that he needed to get that type of deal as well. Now, what makes this difficult is, look, Miko Rantanen is an exceptional hockey player. He's one of the best in the NHL, one of the best in the world right now in this moment. 28 years old in the prime of his career, and he hasn't slowed down. He's got 3 hat tricks this season. He's 6th in the NHL in points, and that's with taking into account that he's only got 4 assists in his last 6 games. Screw all of that. He was like top 3 or 4 for most of the season. In fact, there were points in this year where number 1 was Nathan MacKinnon, number 2 was Miko Rantanen. He deserves to be the next guy to raise the bar. Connor McDavid signed for $12.5 million many moons ago. In 2022, Nathan MacKinnon got $12.6 million. In 2023, Austin Matthews got $13.25 million. And in 2024, Leon Draisaitl got $14 million. The cap is rising. The bar is being raised. Miko Rantanen deserves to be the next person to raise that bar, whether he gets precisely the same number as Draisaitl or slightly above it. He deserves to be that next player. It's going to be followed by Connor McDavid, and then after that by Cale Makar. But Miko has earned the right to make a ton of money. His play has determined that. He's a top 6 or 7 or 8 guy in the NHL. But what makes this complicated, unfortunately for Rantanen, unfortunately for Avalanche fans, unfortunately, the reality of a hard salary cap. All of those things are true. However, at the same time, top 6 or 7 or 8 in the NHL, Miko Rantanen is the 3rd best player on the Colorado Avalanche. And that's not an insult to him. It's just the reality. And that's what makes all of this so difficult. It's the fact that Nathan MacKinnon makes 12.6. If you sign Miko for 14 and then Cale Makar comes in at 16 or 17, you're fucked. Salary cap wise, you're already having trouble trying to build depth with this roster. It's something you've been dealing with since the Stanley Cup run. It would only be tougher from here on out. And yes, the salary cap was going to keep rising, but so are player salaries. You're no longer going to sign somebody like Ross Colton for $4 million. In 3 or 4 years, a player like Ross Colton is going to be worth $6 or $7 million for that type of value. So there's a lot of reasons why I think this happened, and one of them is the fact that this has dragged on for 4 months. It's been 143 days since Draisaitl signed that extension, and it made things complicated, and I think Chris McFarland couldn't risk walking Miko Rantanen all the way to free agency and then letting him walk. You cannot lose a star player of that caliber for nothing, even in the middle of a Stanley Cup run. The other thing is, can you even call this season a Stanley Cup run? Given the way that the games have shaken out over the last month after that early January winning streak, well, December into January winning streak, can you even call this a Stanley Cup run? The Avalanche are 28-19-2 at the time of this trade. There are 6 teams in the Western Conference alone that are miles ahead of them, that look more dangerous than them. And yes, you got Miko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. But again, over the last 3 years, you've seen what having those 3 guys set records and put up insane numbers does while not having the depth. given their recent stretch, given how the last three seasons have gone, I think Chris McFarland decided, I got to put my balls on the table and I got to make the type of move that is going to send shockwaves through this franchise, and hope to God it pays off. I always thought that the McFarland era was going to be defined by what happens with Valerie Nichushkin. I now think that the McFarland era is going to be defined by what happens post Mikko Rantanen trade with Marty Natchez, with Jack Drury, and with what the Avalanche do with that cap space that they have moving into next season. This year, minimal cap space. But moving into next season, when Mikko Rantanen, even if you got to sign him, let's say for 12 and a half, you now have Marty Natchez for 6.5. So what you were planning on giving Mikko, you've got about $6 million more in $6 million more dollars in the bank. The salary cap's about to go up, I believe, from $88 million to $97 million. You're about to get an extra $9 million. Yes, Gabe Landeskog, you're hoping comes back, but if he does, he's accounted for. A lot is happening. There's a lot that's going to be shaken up with this trade, and I always felt that something was eventually going to happen. I just didn't think it was going to be this, and I did not think for the life of me it would be this early. So with that, let's get into a few more things. Marty Natchez, who is he and what does he bring? He is, for starters, fast as hell. He's got the highest top speed in the NHL this season. He's one of the only guys that you can put with Nathan MacKinnon and actually have him keep up, sometimes even skate more than Nate MacKinnon. He's got 55 points in 49 games. He is having an excellent season. He's got a lot of points in his last handful of games. He also started the season just storming out of the gate. There was a stretch in October where he had 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, 2 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, and that stretched into November as well. He was producing at all ends of the ice. He was playing up and down the lineup, a lot of power play points. He had some game-winning goals in there. He was the Carolina Hurricanes' best player before this trade this season. He's already got 5 game-winning goals as well, which is a big number for someone like him, shooting 14.2%, playing 18 minutes per night. My goodness, I hope this guy's conditioning is up, because throughout his career, he's averaged 16.47 over the last 5 years. It's been 17, 16, 18, 17, and then 18 again this year. He's about to play 21 or 22 or 23 a night, and I hope he's ready for it. Because that's the part that's worrying about this, is what Mikko, Nate, and Kale were doing with the Avalanche was not normal. Especially the two forwards, Nate and Mikko, they've built to that level of being able to be relied on for 22, 23, 24, sometimes 26, 27, 28 minutes per night with ease. Like, you cannot discredit ever what Mikko Rantanen has done for this franchise. So that's what you're going to get from Marty Natchez. He's already got 2 points more than he did all of last season. He's having an excellent season, but there is an opportunity for more growth here. He had 71 points a couple years ago in 82 games. And this is a guy looking for an opportunity, and there is no bigger opportunity than being lined up with Nathan MacKinnon. No disrespect to Sebastian Aho, this is an elevated role. Now, is he going to fit with Nate? We're going to find out really quickly. The hope is yes, and the hope is he becomes a key piece of your team for less than what Mikko wanted to sign for. You know, he's making 6.5 now, Natchez. Could you get him for 8 or 9 if he ends up being a 90-point player? We'll see. You know, this is all further down the line talk, but he is eligible for an extension on July 1st. So we'll have to see how the rest of the season goes first. With Jack Drury, you're going to get a depth forward, a depth centerman who plays a strong 200-foot game. He's a faceoff specialist. He's taken 405 faceoffs this season, and he's won 58.3% of them, which is excellent. This is something the Avalanche badly needed. If he enters the lineup, and if Marty Natchez enters the lineup, and if Miles Wood is ready to go against the Boston Bruins, which is unclear which game Wood's going to play in, but it sounds like he wants to play right away, you can see an Avalanche lineup without Nichushkin that has Drouin, MacKinnon, and Natchez, Colton, Mittelstadt, and Lehkonen, Kiviranta, Kelly, and O'Connor, and then most importantly, it's no longer Parsonen with a couple of AHLers. It would be Parsonen with Drury and Wood. And if Wood's not ready, then at least you got Chris Wagner there now, who was recently called up. A lot of moving parts here. Getting Val back is going to make a change. But on top of that, there has to be something more, right? Because it certainly feels that way. There was one thing that I noticed that came out. You know, every insider said the Avalanche are not done. I still wonder about Gabe Landeskog, who's on this trip. And I wonder about two things. Was Gabriel Landeskog asked by Chris McFarland to get on this trip because he knew this was imminent and this was going to happen, and he wanted his captain there to be in the locker room with the team? Or is this a case that Gabe Landeskog is on the team because he's going to start traveling on every road trip and practicing and working his ass off to make a comeback over the next 60 to 90 days? Either way, right now, the Avalanche, they have the cap space to maneuver to add Landeskog by sending one or two guys down, which is like a Wagner and an Inala. Like that would get the job done. Maybe even another defenseman like Keaton Middleton. You can make it work. Now, the biggest thing is, it's clear that the Avalanche are going to make another move. It's clear they're going to go all in on this, and they're going to continue to shake up this roster just like they have over the last year, just like they did with their goaltending, and just like the defense hasn't seen much of a shakeup outside of Bowen Byram. I know EJ was eventually let go, and then Jack Johnson too. But from the big pieces, it was Bowen Byram was the only trade. I think there is going to be a big shakeup on the blue line to come too. Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic have a little bit of Pierre Lacroix in them, and it's kind of frightening to see, honestly. But given where you are now, given what you've just done with Mikko Rantanen, nothing is off the table at this point. So with that, Elliot Friedman made an appearance on NHL Network. And one of the things he said was he believes the Avalanche are going to go after a center. And then he went on to mention the team is not happy with the Casey Mittelstadt fit right now. Very obvious. We all knew that. Now, what that says to me is, could Casey Mittelstadt get traded? Potentially. I mean, it sure is. If Mikko Rantanen just got traded, I'm never going to be shocked if someone like Casey gets traded. That's just the reality. Nothing will surprise me anymore. But on that note, you have a couple of options here. If you're going to go out and get a center, you can go and get somebody who's more of a, I'm losing my train of thought here. It's late, 12:09 in the morning now. You can get someone who's more of a rental. You know, Elliot Friedman mentioned Brock Nelson. Granted, that's somebody who's going to have a lot of interest on the open market if he gets there. And if he ends up getting traded, you know, a lot of teams are going to be interested in somebody like that. Nelson in 47 games this year has 14 goals, 16 assists. He's a player that 3 years running now has scored 30 plus goals, 34 last year, 36 the year before, 37 the year before. He's got a 75 point season under his belt. He's a solid second line center. He also plays the PK as well. And pretty decent size, 6'4", 205 pounds. So you can go the rental route. But with the rental route, are you really going to trade a cost-controlled player like Casey Mittelstadt, who's still young, for a 33-year-old center like Brock Nelson? I doubt it. If you're going to go the rental route, and if it's not somebody that you see fit for this organization for the foreseeable future, I can't see Mittelstadt being part of a trade like that. But you can trade Mittelstadt if you go after one of two things. Number one, a like-minded player who's young and cost-controlled and team-controlled that you can sign and replace Mittelstadt with, or you bring in a veteran who's locked up to a long-term deal, who has the energy, the bite, and the fight to want to win a Stanley Cup, who would make a lot of sense for this team. And yes, I'm talking about JT Miller. If you follow my work on Colorado Hockey, well, if you don't follow my work on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, you should. But if you follow my work on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, you know that I have completely avoided the JT Miller speculation and conversation over the last month or so. It just didn't make sense. There was no way the Avalanche were going to trade for this guy, knowing Mikko Rantanen's got to sign an extension. The Mackenzie Blackwood deal begins next year, $5.25 million. You got Scott Wedgwood at $1.5 million. You got Casey Mittelstadt, Ross Colton, Nathan MacKinnon. Adding JT Miller for $8 million for someone who's locked up for 4 more years just seems outrageous. But when you trade a player who's making 9.2, who was going to get a raise of at least 3 million to 4 to 5 million on top of that 9.2, and you replace him with somebody making 6.5, not just this season, but next season when the cap goes up $9 million, reportedly, it starts to make sense. I put up my first version of the Avalanche trade board, and I already need to put up my second because the first version did not include trading Mikko Rantanen and needing to fill in after making a move of that nature. But now here we are. We're at the point where JT Miller makes sense. We're at the point where the next version of the trade board coming to you early next week will include JT Miller. And we're at the point where you just traded Mikko Rantanen. If you're going to trade a 25-year-old and Casey Mittelstadt for a 31-year-old and JT Miller, so freaking be it. This team wants to win Stanley Cups right now, and these are the types of moves they have to make. You cannot, and I'm not saying they will, but you cannot trade Mikko Rantanen and then suddenly become conservative with your deals. You know the Avalanche are shooting for a big name. They're shooting for the stars, and they're shooting to really change the entire outlook of this roster. I remember looking back at the Sidney Crosby era. Well, he's still there, but like the Sidney Crosby golden era with the Pittsburgh Penguins and looking at that first year that they won the Stanley Cup where he's playing with a veteran like Mark Recchi. He's got Dupuis there. He's got, what the hell is the other guy's name? Peter Sikora, Ruslan Fedotenko, obviously, Evgeny Malkin, Jordan Staal, Max Talbot. They've got this like group of guys on defense. They had the Orpiks and they had... Chris Letang, and they had a whole bunch of veterans there. Marc-Andre Fleury. And that was the first era of Stanley Cup for Sidney Crosby in 2009. But to get to the next cup in 2016, and it took 7 years because there was a whole lot of concussion issues in between, but to get to that next era of Stanley Cups, a shitload of moves were made. And the team that won the cup with Sid the first time looked nothing like the teams that won in 2016 and 17. Fan favorites, Max Talbot scored the cup-winning goal. He was traded. He obviously ended up in Colorado at one point. He was let go. You also saw Marc-Andre Fleury lose his role to Matt Murray. You saw Jordan Staal get shipped out. Peter Sikora was gone. Mark Recchi was gone. The entire roster was turned over to this new team. Rob Scuderi was another defenseman that was there. He was no longer there. It was Ron Hainsey. It was Ian Cole. It was Jeff Schultz. Oh, my goodness. Who was the other one that was there? It was Jeff Schultz, right? Now I'm going to... Justin Schultz is what I meant. Sorry, it was Justin Schultz. Yeah, so Justin Schultz, Ian Cole, Chris Letang, you had Ron Hainsey there. You had a whole bunch of new guys there, but you still had Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang. Well, you still got Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. You still got Devon Taves. He's not going anywhere. You still got Arturi Lehkonen. He's not going anywhere. You still got Val Nichushkin. Hope to God he stays clean because he's not going anywhere at $6 million. What a goddamn bargain contract if he can stay healthy and clean, physically, mentally, all of it. And then you still have that wild card in Gabe Landeskog. If you change everybody else around there, you've already lost Kadri, you've already lost Kemper, you've already lost Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook and all these other pieces like Burakovsky and Compher. This was just the next step in. You can do one of two things. You can continue to hang on to the past, or you can try to build for the future and win with another era of players. You got Cal Ritchie coming up through the system, Goliayev coming up through the system, Nabokov, the goalie. Obviously, your goaltenders have both changed twice since you won the Stanley Cup. Trading Mikko Rantanen is not easy, but it says to me that this management group is ready to take that next step. Enough is enough. They want to take that gamble. They've taken the first step of that gamble. It's a matter of what they do next. The unfortunate reality of the hard cap era is you can look at a trade on a surface level and say a team lost it. And if you look at the Avalanche trade, they lost. Marty Natchez is not Mikko Rantanen, and having Jack Drury a second and a fourth does not make up what you lost in Mikko Rantanen. That much I can tell you. But when you combine all the other factors and the salary cap and what you can do, and if you go out and trade for someone like JT Miller or do some crazy ass move like that, it changes the way you look at these moves. I always used to say early in the season, and I never used to say this publicly, it was more privately, like a joke among me and other media and friends that I would talk to. I used to say, in the summer, if Mikko Rantanen walks, just sign Mitch Marner and call it even. That's not even the way they're going here. They've already got Natchez. They're going to go out and do something else. Will it work? It's anybody's guess. I'm also intrigued to see what Mikko Rantanen does in Carolina, and if he ends up sticking there, and if they end up doing well and he re-signs, or if it just like crashes and burns and he ends up walking as a free agent anyway. Like, there's no guarantee he stays there. Granted, one of his best friends is Sebastian Aho, and now he's going to play with him. That line at the Four Nations face-off, Lekkonen, Aho, and Rantanen, is going to hit a little bit different now. It's going to be really sad to see that. God, the little video montage that the Avalanche did of Rantanen and just showed up on my Twitter timeline. It's really sad, honestly. But I'm really interested to see how this all goes. 42 days, now 41 days if it's Saturday and you're listening to this, until the trade deadline. This is not the last move the Avalanche are going to make. This was the first move, the biggest move, but it won't be the only move. So I hope that was enough to kind of give you guys a little bit of hope and promise. This is a massive gamble, one that could pay off, but one that could also come crashing and burning on this era of the Avalanche. But on a personal note, I'm going to miss the hell out of Mikko Rantanen, and I cannot believe how long he's been here and how much I've been watching this guy. Living in Detroit till 2019 as a fan, loved the hell out of this player. Moving here, covering him, getting to know him on a personal level, changed the outlook of what I thought of him. Watching him lift the Stanley Cup, watching him be part of that team, watching him score 55 goals, 3 hat tricks this season alone. I'm going to miss everything about Mikko Rantanen and this team. And I'm going to close off by saying that becoming a legend requires a few things for a franchise. One of them is breaking records. Another one is longevity. And a third one is winning a Stanley Cup. Mikko Rantanen has done all those things. I hope to God we never see another player wear number 96 in an Avalanche uniform. And if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.